Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The state's history with the automobile goes back to 1884, when Edward Callahan built a three-wheeled steam-powered vehicle on his farm. He drove it to Woonsocket, where he was ordered to get the noisy contraption off the street. Another early pioneer was Thomas Fawick of Sioux Falls, who built his Fawick Flyer in 1908. The cover story in the latest issue of South Dakota Magazine features photographs of over 30 historic cars found in the state, from a 1909 Brush Runabout to a 58 Chevrolet Bel Air and former Senator Tom Daschle's 71 Pontiac Ventura. Joining us now to talk about the article, Parked in South Dakota, is South Dakota Magazine managing editor Katie Hunhoff. And Katie, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
Also with us is Joe Floyd, who's featured in the Parked in South Dakota article with his 1936 Ford Cabriolet. Joe, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for asking us.
Thank you. I'll just move the mic here a little closer for you. And you're welcome to join the conversation. If you have a classic car, you can let us know. I'm on Twitter at CarlSDPB. You can also email us at midday@sdpb.org or give us a call at 800-524-3604. Katie, I'd like to start with you in putting this article together for South Dakota Magazine. Was it difficult finding historic cars in the state?
No, that was definitely the easy part. You know, I bet we get pitched, you know, stories about every month about an old car. South Dakotans really love their old cars. And probably the hardest part for us when we were sitting around the table discussing the story was kind of what aspect to take. You know, we could have decided to do the top 10 most rare cars in the state or the top 10 most valuable cars. And what we decided to do was just pick out some stories that really show how much South Dakotans do love their old cars. And that's what really fascinated us, was the stories that tied people to their cars and events throughout their lifetime.
So really what this is it's a collection of car love stories.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And we did call the Department of Motor Vehicles, and we found out that cumulatively South Dakotans own 47,892 cars that are 30 years old or older, and another 9,000 that have active historical plates.
Do you know how that compares to other states? Or?
I don't, but for our small population, it's a big proportion.
Well, Joe Floyd, your car in here, the 36 Ford Cabriolet, tell us a little bit about that car. This is a rather rare car.
Well, my hobby has been collecting 1936 Fords. We started out, my wife and I, years ago with a 36 Ford standard Cabriolet convertible. And then after I retired, for some reason or other, we decided, why didn't we see if we could find and collect and restore every model they built during 1936. And they built 13 or 16, depending on how you want to count them. And they had about 14 different color combinations. And so we pursued that. The Cabriolet in the article is a different car. Ford at that time had plants in England, Australia, and Germany. And as Germany began to convert to wartime operations, in 1936 was on the edge before they invaded the Sudetenland. So Ford had German partners. Most likely they were Nazi partners, but yet they were starting to build the full-size Ford. Up till that time, they built only small Fords for small roads. But Germany had the Autobahn, and so they wanted a larger car. So the way in Cologne, Ford was building a four-door sedan that was virtually identical to the one they built in the United States, and they built a wooden station wagon close to what was built in the United States. Then they were taking the Ford frame and engine and what they call the front clip, and they were sending it off to custom bodybuilders in Germany to build roadsters out of them. One of them happened to be Glasser Motor Works in Dresden, and he produced a roadster built on a 36 Ford standard frame with standard engine. And these Glasser roadsters were sold throughout Germany and were part of the Ford's line of sale. Whether these cars were ordered as a custom from a customer or they were actually sold offline, I have no idea. Anyway, during the war, virtually all those cars were destroyed through the bombing in Berlin and throughout Germany. However, three of them must have made it to Paris during World War II because the big cars were confiscated by the German government and used for military officers. My guess is that they were abandoned in Paris when Patton ran through there, and having enterprising GIs probably figured out a way to get three of those things back to the United States, which they did. Two of them were a 1935 model, had a different front end on it, and they had European front opening doors. One ended up in Minnesota, one ended up upstate Maine. And I knew that there was a 36 floating around someplace, and after several years of looking around, we found it down in St. Louis. Brought it back to South Dakota and commenced the restoration work on it, which was a challenge because other than the drive line, the engine in the front, everything else in the body was custom, and there were virtually no records available on how he did it. But we tried to follow his lines, and in discussion with the other owners, followed a line of restoration. The ending story is it was done by this glasser. He survived the war and ended up being chief designer for Porsche after the war. So many of those bug-looking Porsches people were driving around after the war were designed by the same guy, Glasser.
This is an absolutely beautiful car. And for listeners, maybe you can describe what this car looks like.
Well, you have to. The 36 Ford is one of the considered... Oh, my goodness.
Which they didn't have those in 1936.
Yeah, they didn't either. I got rid of it, I think. It was one of the prettiest cars that Ford had in design. Ford was in the process of transitioning from what everybody calls the Bonnie and Clyde car to the more modern car with the lights and the fenders and stuff like that. Ford did it over a period of 2 years, using some designers to round the fenders and round the headlights and give a smoother look to the car. They actually perfected that process in 1936, and it's considered to be one of the most well-proportioned cars that Ford ever made, and so they're sought after by collectors. Having seen a 36 Ford with a vertical radiator and the rounded, bulging fenders, separate headlights, behind the, you know, from the windshield back, instead of seeing a standard car, you see a very sloping roadster design with special welts on the side of the body that were unique to Glasser, which makes a very sporty-looking car. And it was a convertible, but it was also a four-passenger convertible, which in 36, Ford had just started to make a couple of those. It is an entirely handmade body, using wood for various places that coachmakers make wood. In the 30s, the coachmakers used wood because they didn't have access to high-strength steel. So to give them something that was strong but yet lightweight, they used oak. So the car was full of German oak. When we got it, started taking it apart, of course, the bugs had gotten to it years ago. So we had to very carefully pull the pieces of wood that were left out of there and then reconstruct them using American oak, and then put them back in the metal and then re-seam the metal. But the car has metal above, wood above the front windshield. The door posts where the doors close are all oak. Most of the flooring, instead of being steel, is oak. In the back, typical of European roadsters in that era, the rear end is supported on what they call a trapeze, which is made out of oak and supports the rear end.
Must take an amazing amount of work to put that thing back together.
Yeah, it was a real challenge. The fellows I worked with in the wood shops is, we're going to do what with this wood? It was fun. It was a real challenge.
Yeah, Katie Hunhoff?
You can probably tell that Joe knows a lot about cars. Joe's dad owned the Hudson car dealership in Sioux Falls when he was growing up, and so he started working on cars at a young age.
Well, Katie Hunhoff, there are, what, about 30-some cars in South Dakota Magazine, the cover story, parked in South Dakota.
Yep.
It's probably impossible to say which one is your favorite, but are there a couple that, that you really want to...
You mentioned one of them at the beginning of the show. I'm a huge fan of Edward Callahan, and... here's a picture of his. He built the three-wheeled steam-powered horseless carriage that the people in Woonsocket did not like, and he was kicked out of town. And that horseless carriage only went about 15 miles an hour, so it took him about 2 hours to get to town to show it off to people. So then he probably was furious driving it back the 2 hours home. And that car should definitely be in a South Dakota museum. But Callahan was, you know, famous for just tooling around in a shed and making different things. And after it wasn't a success in Woonsocket, he dismantled it and used the wheels for something else. So you won't be seeing that car in one of our museums. But just a little bit after the turn of the century, he did make a gas-powered car as well. And that one impressed his neighbors a little bit more. He took it out and took it for the first ride. A lot of the neighbors gathered to watch him. And they were pretty impressed when it actually could go around, and they were all clamoring to get on and take the next ride with him. But as he was making the return trip back, he was yelling at the people that were gathered to watch and waving at them. Well, they couldn't hear him over the loud engine, but for the next 2 hours, he continued to circle around the group of people, and they were mystified and couldn't figure out what was going on. But when the car finally ran out of gas, which it probably had a full tank of gas, when it finally ran out of gas, he explained that he had mounted the shutoff switch too far out of reach. He was pretty sheepish about that. But so Callahan is definitely one of my favorite stories.
There's also one of the other early cars is the Fabric Flyer, which is the Old Courthouse Museum in Sioux Falls. You can check that out there.
Yep, that was built by just a 19-year-old named Thomas Fawick. And he built five Fawick Flyers in 1908. And the one that Fawick used as his own car, which has about 125,000 miles on it, is now on display in Sioux Falls at the Old Courthouse Museum. And so the same year he built his five cars, Ford had sold 10,000 cars for $825, while Fawick sold five at $3,000 apiece, and his were pretty fancy. They were a four-door sedan. They could go up to 60 miles an hour, and it was nicknamed the Silent Sioux. It was a really quiet car, so maybe he had heard about Callahan's noisy car and knew it had to be quiet here in South Dakota.
Well, Joe Floyd, you've been a fan of cars since, what, you were a teenager?
Yes.
What is it you love about cars?
Well, like so many of us that grew up in the 50s, you know, the car was the liberator in the 50s. If you had a car, then you could go places and you could date girls and you could do all the kind of things you really wanted to do. So I think that's where you kind of, at least all of my friends of my era, we're all fascinated and love old cars because we worked on them and we traded them and we ran them, and I think that just kind of sticks with you as part of your culture, and it probably was the genesis by which car clubs started. We started a club called the Igniters in Sioux Falls that went on for years, and it was like-minded young fellows that liked to run around in cars that made a lot of noise, and then that branched off into other clubs. Or in Sioux Falls area now, there's the Ford Club, and there's a Street Rodders Club, and there's a Mopar Club. And then on a national basis, there are, you know, I belong to the early Ford V8 Club, which is a worldwide organization involved in the preservation of cars made by Ford between 32 and 53. And I'm also part of their national museum. There's the AACA Club, which American Motor Car Club, which recognizes classic vehicles. It's a nationwide organization, has meetings and rallies all over the country. Then there's the VMCCA organization that concentrates on road rallies, where you can take your car and drive it for 5 or 6 days on a rally and meet a lot of like-minded people.
Well, Joe Floyd, thanks so much for – we're out of time here. We could keep talking about these cars all afternoon, I think. But thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday. And Katie Hunhoff, thanks for your time as well.
Thanks.
And you can read more about these historic cars that you can find in South Dakota in the latest issue of South Dakota Magazine. It's called Parked in South Dakota. And you can read more about these, people's love stories with their cars, including that classic car from that 36 Ford Cabriolet that Joe Floyd has. That's in the latest issue of South Dakota Magazine. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. The producer of Dakota Midday is Stephen Zwempke. We had assistance from Nathan Poole. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll hear about some new options for high school students in Harrisburg, including personalized learning plans. That's at noon Central, 11 Mountain. I'm Carl Gerke, and this is Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Stay tuned. Talk of the Nation is coming up next.